Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Alex Gonzalez, who is a retired Army colonel with 26 years of service, four combat tours to Iraq and Afghanistan. And he's here today to chat about his career, his combat experience, how he's coped with PTSD, and some other various issues that he's had from his military service. So welcome to the show, Alex. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's my pleasure to be here on your podcast today.
Absolutely. And before we get into the conversation, why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background, just to kind of give a little context to who it is that we're talking to here.
Hey, so like Scott said, I'm a retired Army colonel, 26 years in the Army. I come from an extended military family. My father did 30 years. He's a retired CSM. I got three brothers that are in the Army. Two retired, one still serving a colonel at Fort Hood. My combat deployments have been rather tough on me as far as what I brought back home, what happened over there, and what I brought back home, as most of us battle with those issues that we bring back home. So I've been diagnosed with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, you name it, I've got it. But my biggest claim to fame is I currently have 255 men that I send a daily devotional out to. And those men inspire me each day to get up and get out of bed and make something of myself each and every day. Some days they get the devotional early. Sometimes they don't get it till late at night. It depends on how I'm feeling and if I can actually get up out of bed and be functional.
And before we started recording, you were telling me a little bit about some of the issues that you're dealing with and how some days it really is a struggle to just do something as simple as getting out of bed, which a lot of people, they take that for granted. You know, the alarm clock goes off and okay, yeah, maybe it's a little, you know, a little groggy and you might hit the snooze button a time or two. And
yes,
you may not want to get out of bed, but physically you could do it. You know, if the smoke alarm was going off and there's a fire in the house and you need to hop your ass up out of bed and you get moving, right? But sometimes for some people, it physically, it's a struggle to get out of bed. And so could you tell us a little bit about what is going on there and kind of what you're dealing with that?
So I've got six herniated discs throughout my lower back and I've got severe arthritis, rheumatoid and osteoarthritis throughout my spine and throughout my entire body. So some mornings are just extremely tough. My wife will come and literally pull me out of bed and stand me up and walk me to the bathroom some mornings. No joke. It's embarrassing. I'm only 44 years old. I got an amazing wife that knows what she has to do to get me going each day. And with her by my side, I know there's no option. Either she walks me to the bathroom, I come back and she makes me sit up and gives me a cup of coffee, but I have to at least be functional that day and show some drive each.
And that's a difficult thing to basically have to rely on somebody else like that. I mean, it's outstanding. And I've met your wife, we've chatted before and we'll have her on another episode coming up here soon, but you know, just having to rely on that other person, that's gotta be tough, especially coming from a leadership position, which obviously, you know, you rely on your men, whatever leadership role that you might have been in, exactly. You're relying on the people to go get the mission accomplished, right? But not to necessarily do your job, to do the thing that you are supposed to be able to do, right?
Exactly. Right?
So it's gotta be difficult for somebody, right?
It's tough. It's very tough. But my wife is always there to speak life to me, to tell me I'm going to have a good day, to motivate me and be that person that I need to kick me in the rear end, to get me out of bed and get me motivated.
Right. Let's back up a little bit and talk about your career. 26 years in the Army, pretty long career. Let's back up a bit more than that. And let's go into what made you want to join the Army in the first place. Let's start kind of from the beginning.
So as a young child, coming from a military family, my grandfather enlisted in 1942. I have five uncles, each one of them served in the Army. So I saw my three older brothers enlist at age 17 as enlisted men and cross over to be officers. So there was no doubt in my mind what I was going to do. I mean, my dad, he told me, son, you can choose a different career. You just have to choose another family. Now, I know he was joking, so he didn't force me to join the Army, but that's what we had done since my grandfather. So there was really, they had paved the way for me, and I was just going to go on that glide path and do exactly what my older brothers had done and be a soldier. So that's all I ever wanted to do as a little kid, see my father in the Army, see my brothers enlist, seeing them go off to basic training. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I could not wait to turn 17 to enlist to go to basic training.
Yeah. I know when my younger brother joined before I did, and going to his basic training graduation, that was basically the thing that I think sealed the deal for me to join, was just seeing that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of him and everything that he's done and accomplished. And, you know, looking back on it now, you know, basic training is what it is, but still back then it was a super impressive thing to me, you know, an outsider looking in. And I was like, that's it. I'm joining too at some point. Exactly. Like, I think that probably did it. And I also wonder, like, other people, like my kids and, you know, other people's, like, you know, other soldiers' kids looking up to their parents, like, is that something that they look at as, I want to be that when I grow up? Or is it something different? You know, it may be different for every person, but I always wonder what people think about when they are in that position, right?
Exactly. So that's a great point. So my son's 21 years old and he enlisted in the National Guard when he was 17. And when I took him down and swore him in and I was all done and I came back home, I sat down and I was just crying my eyes out. Like, I could not believe my son chose to do what I had done. And he saw me come back from combat and the issues I had had as the kids take it on the most of any other person in the family because they're younger and they don't know how to cope with the challenges. But that day that I swore him in, I think I cried myself to sleep that night. I was just blown away. I could not believe my son raised his right hand to defend this country.
You know, and as a parent, you know, my kids are too young at this point still. My oldest is 13, so they're too young, although that time is getting nearer by the day. But that would be an awfully proud moment, I think, for me, if my children chose. And I, again, like your dad, like, I'm not pushing anyone to do anything. They can make their own decisions for their own career choices and everything like that. But I think that would be an awfully proud moment if they chose to stand up and serve and defend this country the way that we have, right?
Yes, exactly.
I think that would be pretty awesome. Now let's talk about your combat experience, because you mentioned that, you know, a lot of these issues that you've been dealing with from the TBI, the PTSD and other things that you might be dealing with kind of led from some of that combat experience. So take us through some of that and what you went through during your combat tours.
So I deployed 04-05 to Iraq and 06-07 to Iraq. First deployment was a little rough. Lost a couple men. Second deployment, extremely rough. Lost a lot of men during that deployment. We were in the Diyala province of Iraq, and it was just unbelievable. Every time we left the wire, we got blown up with an IED and shot at. Guaranteed. No doubt. My vehicle got hit 13 times directly to my vehicle during that 15-month deployment. I think I had about three times where I got knocked out, didn't know what was going on. So that contributed to my TBI. The last two deployments to Afghanistan, not so bad. I mean, just going out, doing mission, doing what we do. But that second deployment was extremely hard on me. And that's the one deployment that brings back those bad thoughts and those bad memories. And as you know, being a combat veteran, those thoughts are always there. And it is so hard to clear your mind from those events.
It is hard. And sometimes, and I can't speak for everybody, and I obviously can't speak for you, but sometimes it almost feels like you're back in that situation. Like, you're not sitting on your couch in the living room. You're standing in the desert in Iraq or in Afghanistan or wherever it is that thing took place at. And it's hard to snap out of that sometimes, right?
It is. It is. It's very, very hard to snap out of that. And that's the one thing that I can say that over the years and dealing with what I dealt with, you know, I've been to countless doctors for PTSD, and I can't stand sitting in front of a doctor that says, "Oh, I understand. Hold on. Time out. Have you ever served?" I don't think so. So you don't understand. And so many doctors just say, "Wow, that was like 15 years ago. You should be over it by now." Really? You don't know me. You don't have my thought process. You have not experienced and seen what I've experienced. So who are you to say that memory should be erased from my mind because it's been 15 years? That's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And that doesn't compute with me either. I mean, there's a various number of reasons why it might still be an issue for somebody. And it's not necessarily for a lack of effort on trying to resolve the issue either, right? But sometimes it could just be, you know, it's been not handled properly. You know, the doctors that you may have gone and seen, maybe they weren't the best at what it is that they're doing. And you're stuck in this loop of trying to get out of here, but you're just digging a hole and you're getting deeper and deeper. And now you're at this point where it's hard to get back out, and it's even harder all these years later. So it really shouldn't be all that surprising to somebody that could be the issue, right? But we still live in a day and age where, I mean, while things are getting better, doctors are not the most informed on some of this stuff. And some of them are great, but some of them still might have some issues.
Yes. And unfortunately, majority of the ones that I've dealt with, they're always quick to jump to, okay, this is your problem. Well, this is my first session with you, and you're like giving me a solution to my problems. You don't know me. I haven't told you even an eighth of the issues that I have from combat, but yet you're giving me a penance forward. Like, after like two or three gets to know me a little bit better, I'm more receptive to you saying, "Hey, okay, this is a potential path forward." But if you come to me the first session and say, "This is what you got to do. This is what will fix you." Whoa, pump your brakes.
Right. Yeah. You definitely need to get to know the person from the doctor's standpoint. You definitely need to know the issue, get to understand all the details going into it, and approach it more holistically in terms of trying to figure out all the issues that could be going on. Yeah, sure. You were in Iraq and your vehicle has been blown up, you know, a dozen or more times. Okay, that's certainly traumatic, but there's probably some other stuff going on too. So let's figure out all of the pieces of that puzzle before we just try to put it together without looking at the picture on the box, right?
Yeah. And it's so unfortunate now that I'm on the VA side, I've got a lot of old soldiers that are struggling with PTSD, same issues I have from the same deployment that we were on together. And they call me, they're like, "Sir, I can't, the VA just turned me around." I'm like, "What?" So I will call on their behalf to get them treatment, but I'm a retired guy. So they're like, "Who are you? Who are you?"
Right.
I'm like, "Look, I used to be this soldier's leader and I need him to get seen today. He's sitting outside the parking lot. I'm going to have him walk in and I need him to be seen today. I will call back in 30 minutes to make sure he's been seen." But it's kind of sad that our service members get turned around by the VA, because behavioral health therapists, social workers, and psychologists are so short across the nation that it's hard to find a provider.
That's true, especially within the VA system, which I'm not faulting the VA. They are doing what they can with what they have to work with.
Exactly.
And it's hard. You can't just go to the psychiatrist tree and pick another one off when you need one, like it's an apple or something. You know, like you need to train people, you need to educate them and get them up to speed on the issues that these soldiers are facing before they can walk in. Otherwise, they're going to walk in as that bad doctor who doesn't understand what's going on. Exactly. You're just going to create more problems down the line.
Exactly.
So you really do need to have a better system in place. Now, with that said, there are people outside of the VA that are doing lots of great work, and there's lots of different options that are available. Maybe the traditional talk therapy that you might get through the VA isn't going to necessarily resonate with everybody.
Yes.
Maybe there's some other options out there, right? So, so there is that possibility which exists that people can go and talk to people that are not necessarily affiliated with the VA.
Exactly.
Now, that adds an extra layer of complexity because now you have to figure out, okay, who are these people? Where are they physically located? How do we get in touch with these people?
Yeah.
There's an extra issue, but it is a possibility. So with that, go ahead.
So one of the things I've found is I've got about 255 men that I communicate with each day, Monday through Friday, I send a devotional out to them. And about 9% of them are my old soldiers or veterans. But I am always there to answer the phone when they call. And they think that I'm helping them out, but that's not always the case. Just by them calling me, I get to cry with them and I get to laugh with them and I get to get stuff off my chest that has been in my brain. So it's twofold. Yes, I help them, but they help me as well. You know, it's an awesome thing that I have so many men. And every day there's one to two or three men that need to talk, and they'll send me a text message back and say, hey, you have time to talk? And I'll give them a call and we'll laugh and cry together and process everything. And I think that's one of the biggest issues for us combat veterans is the ability to process what we've been through. Because if we don't process it and we don't store it in the right part of the brain, it's always at the forefront of our mind, and it will always come up, whether you meet a soldier or a civilian who has the same name as one of the soldiers that you lost in combat. You go there instantaneously, and you're back in Iraq or Afghanistan, and it's horrible. You know, you can be out with your family having a good time, and you meet somebody, and whoa, oh my gosh, that's my old soldier's name, and everything else is a wash. But to me, it's awesome to have so many men that I know will reach out to me when they have issues. And it's a blessing. It's a true blessing for me.
Well, and it gives you a sense of purpose as well. So those days that you're sitting in bed and you're having trouble, physically having trouble getting out of bed, but you know that there are those 250 soldiers who are sitting there waiting for the text from you that with that devotional. It's like, okay, I've got this mission to accomplish today. As simple as it may be, as sending a text message, that's your mission. And then in addition to that, it's being there for them when they need it. And
exactly,
that's part of your mission. It gives you that thing that you need to do and helps you to get up and get moving throughout the
day, right? Yes. So my wife is the one that drove me to start the devotionals, and it's grown tremendously because when I got medically retired in the Army, and VA said your traumatic brain injury is so bad you can never work another day in your life. So I was like, whoa, what am I going to do? But now with that, I have men that depend on that each and every day. And I know that. So I've got to get it out. Some nights it doesn't go out till late at night, but I will get it out Monday through Friday, each and every day.
And that's a great thing to be able to do, to know that you are providing this service to these soldiers and that they are benefiting in some way, despite the fact that the VA said, you're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to, in a way, that's what I'm saying. You're not able to contribute to society, but here you are contributing to society, right? Exactly. And that is, while it's not a 9-to-5 office job or, you know, construction job or anything like that, it's not that, but it still provides a benefit to people that, I mean, at the end of the day, it could make the difference in somebody's day, right?
Yes, without a doubt, without a doubt.
So in addition to this daily devotional, the sending out these messages, what have you found that has helped you with your PTSD? I know you said you've gone to the doctors and that a lot of times they don't seem like they quite understand what the whole issue is going on with you, but have there been other things that you've tried that have seemed to work a little bit better?
So just being out in God's country, I'm a big outdoorsman. So I go fishing, I go hunting. I live in El Paso, Texas, and people say there's no place to fish. I drive up to New Mexico and there's a lake. It's almost dried out now, but we catch a lot of fish there. And it's just, you know, I take veterans out fishing. I take veterans out hunting when I can. And it's just, it's such a blessing. And more often than not, I plan a trip. And then the night before I'm calling them saying, hey, I'm just not feeling it today. Maybe next week. Let's try again next week. So I don't get out as much as I can, but the opportunity to go out in God's country with another veteran where we can swap war stories and support each other, whether we're out in the field looking for an animal or on the water fishing, it's just a blessing. It's a true blessing.
And love that because it's something different. You know, When I asked that question, I was thinking of what are some of the other clinical type things that you might be doing, some other doctors or other therapies or resources that might be available. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's so simple. Get outside, go in nature and go hunting, go fishing. If that's not your thing, go for a hike, go for a walk, go.
Exactly.
It could be just around your neighborhood or something, but like get outside, right? It's that simple.
So most of my times when I go, I say, God, I'm going hunting. I drive out to this ranch that a church buddy's got and I park and I can only walk like 100 yards from the truck. I'm maxed out, but I'm away from everything. I don't hear no traffic. I don't hear no sirens. It's just God's country and peace. And I clear my mind and just absorb nature. It's so beautiful. And people are like, you don't get very far from your vehicle. I'm like, that's not the point. The point is I'm away from hearing traffic. I'm away from hearing horns, sirens, the daily grind, people working around the house with shop backs and stuff. It's just beautiful to get out there and just sit and just look around and just enjoy God's country.
And that is, it's more than just your personal experience. That's backed by research and science stuff too, that just being outside, getting exposure to sun, to fresh air does help you.
Yeah.
Has those therapeutic benefits to it.
Without it. Yes.
I remember early on when I started this podcast, I talked to a guy that I served with. And he said that the outdoors is his therapist. It's his church. It's it's like everything to him. Just being outside. It's his gym. Yep. You know, he gets all that he needs from being outside. You know, whether he's out hiking or mountain climbing or on the river in a boat or whatever, he does all of these things outside, and that's where he gets the most benefit from. And it's sounds like it's very similar to you.
Yes.
And you know, it is unfortunate that you are limited in terms of your physical mobility and things like that. However, you still are able to take advantage of that. And I think that's encouraging for the listeners who might be sitting there thinking to themselves, well, yeah, I totally resonate with this guy because I can't get out of bed most days either without some assistance, or, you know, I'm having all these physical issues, but, you know, I can't go outside like that and go hunting or fishing because it's just too much for me. Okay. Well, it's a lot for you too. And you're still able to make it work. It's worth a shot. You know, it's worth giving it a try, getting out there, finding a place that's off the beaten path where you don't have the car horns, you don't have the sirens, you don't have the construction going on. It's just you and nature. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. So during those moments when I tell my wife, like, hey, I gotta go out to the ranch. It's not my ranch, it's church buddies, but like she knows, she's like, go. It can be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't matter. She's like, go. Cause she knows when I tell her that, I need to go. And sometimes she'll go out with me and she'll go hiking and I'll walk out about 100 yards from the vehicle and just sit my butt on the ground and just process what bad thoughts have been going through my brain since the last time I was out there. And it's very powerful to sit there with no distractions. My cell phone doesn't work out there. It's awesome. And just to process that stuff and get it from the forefront of my brain and store it in the back part of my brain. So it'll take a while for it to resurface again.
The ability to get out in places where your cell phone just doesn't work. It, like, whether you wanted to or not, it's just not an option. It's just not working out there.
Yeah.
That's got to be a beautiful thing, because sometimes the buzzing, the notifications, everything else that's popping up on it, it's distracting. It's annoying. It's like, I have other stuff I want to get done today.
Exactly.
It's like you're a slave to this little device that you got in your pocket. Yeah, and it's like, sometimes I want to just throw the thing out the window because it's a pain in the butt.
So I would recommend to your listeners, if you can't get to a place like that, just turn your phone off before you leave the house and just turn it off and say you're going to be out in God's country and you're going to have some time alone to enjoy nature. And that's your mission. And once you get done, you can turn it back on, you get all the emails, get on social media like you normally do. But it's so powerful to have 1 to 2 hours just to escape from everything. It is so powerful for me. So powerful for me to be have that opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. Throughout your career, we've talked about this a little bit already, 26 years in the Army. Again, pretty long time in the Army. I gotta imagine you've probably had some memorable experiences. Any highlights that come to mind?
Yes. So I would have to say the last about 10 years I worked at the Army Acquisition Corps. So I was developing Army equipment. And it was awesome to be working on a piece of equipment and going out and seeing the soldiers actually use the equipment that you've been working on, see it benefit them and benefit them in executing their missions. That was just awesome. It was an awesome feeling to see something you've been working on for so long and then see it get in the soldiers' hands and see it actually have a positive impact on mission accomplishment.
I could imagine that it would be extremely satisfying to see not only just that the thing that you developed is being used, but seeing how much better those soldiers are able to accomplish their mission with that equipment versus with whatever it is that they were using before. Whether it's new body armor, the equipment might be, if it's body armor and it's stronger and lighter, than the old body armor, they're able to move faster with less injuries and protect them better than what the old stuff was doing. That's got to be extremely satisfying to see that outcome.
Right? Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So I know we talked a little bit about your background, your combat experience, your current situation with PTSD and TBI and everything else that you're going through. And I know that you currently are sending out these daily devotionals to these individuals. What's next for you? Do you have any other goals on the horizon?
So my wife was asking me this question the other day, and I was like, you know what? If I could take my life back, like maybe about 6 to 8 years, when I could get up and go do PT and be functional every day and know that I would be functional every day, I would set a goal for myself. But today, my goal is just to get up, send out that devotional to my men, and be on standby for whoever needs to talk. And that is my mission. That is how I give back to the service members and veterans that I have come across or the ones that I have served with. And to me, that is the ultimate, because I can't work anymore. And I'm okay with that, because I have a mission and I'm adamant about accomplishing my mission and helping as many service members as I possibly can.
And in a way, that's sort of freeing, because you're taking things one day at a time. It's, yes. I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to worry about today. And I'll worry about tomorrow. And right now is the only thing that matters. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to anybody. No, so let's not worry about them. Let's just worry about today.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that our veterans suffer from. They're like, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to accomplish this. But we have limitations based on our experiences in the military, and it's hard for us to process those limitations that we have because of what we've experienced in the military. So for me, like you said, I live my day for today, and I want today to be the best day it can be. When I wake up, I thank the Lord for allowing me to wake up. I thank the Lord for all the blessings I have in my life. And I thank the Lord for allowing me to breathe and have my wife by my side and my children.
If you were talking to a soldier who was preparing to leave the service, is there any advice that you would want to tell them or anything that you wish someone would have told you before you got to that point in your career?
So the number one thing I would say is find a veteran who has experienced this before. Now, I have brothers that have retired and they have a lot of experience, but they're not close to me. They're 8-10 hours away. So find somebody that lives close to you that you can go to for guidance with the VA, with your disability, whatever it may be. They've experienced it. So find a veteran that you can talk to, because what I have found is one of the biggest issues that our veterans fight on a daily basis is when they leave their battle buddies and they go back home, they no longer have that brotherhood and that connection. You know, maintain the connection with your battle buddies. Maintain that. Send a text message. Give them a call. You got to do that, because that's part of your process of your new life. You can't just turn that off. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to happen. What we did, it was ingrained in our brains to get up and be flexible, because we really didn't know what was going to happen. We may think we're going to go to the M249 range and, we're going to the M2 range. Oh, how did that happen? Don't know. We just do it. That's just how it is. But those things that you went through with your battle buddies, they're experiencing the same thing that you are. So you have to understand that when you're missing the service, your battle buddy is missing it too. And if you left the service, your battle buddy's still in, I guarantee you, if you call your battle buddy, he'll be like, dang it, you made the right decision. You wouldn't believe the BS I'm putting up with today. But you guys can both go back and forth on what challenges you guys are facing, because guess what? You guys were molded from the same stuff. You guys experienced the same stuff in combat, or even through basic or AIT or being stationed in Alaska together. That's a bond that can never be broken. So I would say find a veteran that you can talk to and maintain your connection with your brothers and sisters in arms.
And there are so many groups out there that enable you to be able to find other veterans.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of getting out and participating in some of these groups. There's the obvious ones. There's the VFW, American Legion, and those types of organizations. Yes. But there's even other networking groups that are not quite as well known, but they may just be local to your area. You know, if you're in whatever city that you're near, look up, you know, veteran networking groups or veteran social clubs. So find an activity that you enjoy doing.
Yes.
Just add the word veteran to it and see if there is that group that exists. And if there isn't, start one up, because I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who would be looking for something like that. And they may just be that no one has started it up yet. And so start one up if that's what you need to do.
That's a great point. And a lot of our veterans get out of the service or retire, and they have no connection to battle buddies, to nothing. And they're like, I'm all alone. You're not. There are thousands of veterans just like you who feel like they're all alone. That's why I say maintain that connection with your service members, brothers and sisters you serve with, and find a veteran. It can be an 80 or 90-year-old veteran. It can be a World War II veteran. There's not many left. But just the opportunity to sit with them and listen to that's powerful, not only for you as a veteran, but for that other veteran to have a younger veteran come in and like, wow, you want to talk to me? Really? Like that. What I have found is those guys are just blown away that I want to hear their story. I want to hear their story. I want them to open up to me. And usually that entails a lot of crying, a lot of laughing, a lot of hugging, but it's a beautiful thing because we're veterans and nobody can take that away from us.
Right. And when you have someone like that, one of the 80, 90 year old veteran, World War II veteran, who's now trying to share his story with somebody who's younger in their 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, they're sharing it. And that person's not going to live forever, obviously, right? But
no.
Their story will live on through the person that they are telling their story to. And that's powerful too. Just the power of sharing your story is super important. It can help motivate. It can, you know, if someone, you're telling me your story today, and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go talk to my wife later tonight, and we're going to talk, and she's going to ask, oh, so how was that podcast that you recorded? I'm going to start talking about your story. Yeah. And then and that's going to go to her, and then she's going to talk to somebody else, and maybe she'll share a piece of that to somebody else, and it just spreads, right? And so same way with other people, you can just spread that, and it can have this exponential effect where it just goes out to so many different people, and it helps in one way or another. One small story, you may think it's completely insignificant because it's just a normal thing to you, but you tell it to somebody else and it may totally change their day, change their whole life.
Even. Yes. Yes.
So,
because we're not pioneers. There are so many veterans who have experienced exactly what we experienced, whether in combat or garrison or after we leave the military. There's thousands, millions of people who have done this before us. And it's so beneficial to share 5, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour with them and just talk about current challenges.
Absolutely. And sharing that type of stuff may not seem like that big of a deal, but you do end up feeling just a little bit better about yourself, about things that are happening in your life. Similar to how you're saying, you go and sit out in nature and all of these things just kind of melt away and get time to process things. Well, in a way, you're sort of processing things. You're just talking to someone while you're doing it. And you get to sort of forget about the other issues that are going on in life. You forget about, the faucet that you're supposed to fix at home.
Yeah.
And all the little things that you're supposed to do, right? Like, you forget about those things. You're in this conversation and it just helps process things a little bit better, I think, right?
Definitely, without a doubt, Scott.
Well, Alec, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I really do enjoy hearing your story and your background, everything that you've gone through, and how you're pushing through and thriving despite the fact that the VA basically told you that you're not able to help work going forward, but you're still finding things that you are able to do. You're not just taking that as a sentence to being stuck in bed for the rest of your life. You're still getting up, you're still getting after it, to the extent that you can, and you're making the best out of the situation. So your story to me is really inspiring. Really glad that you were able to come on the show and share that with us. And so I thank you for everything that you've shared with us today.
Thank you, Scott. Your story motivates me. You're an awesome man, and I just feel blessed to have come across you. And your story is extremely powerful, Scott. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.